Our help is in the name of the Lord, who made heaven and earth, who keepeth truth forever, and who never forsaketh the works of his own hands. Amen. Grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. Amen. Congregation, let us sing together of Psalter 382, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4. Lord, thou wast search me and dost know, wherever I rest, wherever I go, thou knowest all that I have planned, and all my ways are in thy hand, and what follows. Psalter 382, the stanzas 1, 2, and 4.
Thank you.
the portion out of God's holy word, which we wish to read together, can be found in Luke 24, the verses 36 through 53. First, the 12 articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith. I believe in God the Father Almighty, a maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only begotten Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead and buried, he descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost. I believe in Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Luke 24, beginning with verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, Peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, Why are ye troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, he said unto them, Have ye here any meat? And they gave him a piece of a broiled fish and of an honeycomb. And he took it and did eat before them. And he said unto them, These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which were written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. And then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures, and said unto them, Thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer, and to rise from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name among all nations, beginning at Jerusalem. And ye are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. And he led them out as far as to Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, he was parted from them and carried up into heaven. And they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and were continually in the temple, praising and blessing God. Amen. Let us try to ask the Lord for his indispensable blessing. Lord, may it please thee in thy mercy to grant unto us and our children what we have read out of thy holy word, precious things, when thy church was gathered in the evening hour. Then thy dear Son has stood in their midst, spoken comfortably to their hearts, and showed them his pierced hands and his pierced feet. And thou was promised in thy holy word, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. May that be experienced in this hour in a special way. May that have been the request of many in the midst of the congregation, that thou may bless thy holy word, open thy word, and that it may be accompanied by the powerful and loving work of thy Spirit, that in this evening hour we have heard it in this morning hour, that thou shalt work from generation to generation. May it please thee in this service, that among young and old they may be converted by thee unto thee, to experience the wonderful things of the Lord, where everything may become reality, the need to be saved, the need to be reconciled. But wilt thou also remember thy children? Then we have heard of thy church, that they have experienced wonderful things, further instructed, the scriptures opened, concerning the meritorial work of thy dear Son, and that repentance and remission must be preached among all nations, beginning in Jerusalem. To that end, do bless thy holy word in the family circles. Help fathers and mothers what is necessary to that end. Then by renewal, we commend those fathers and mothers unto thee, where their little one has received the sacrament of holy baptism, and where they left thy house in this morning with their little child as a God-bearer. May thou do for them what is signified in the sacrament. Bless the labors in the church. Do help the consistory to that end. Who is sufficient to these things? Wilt thou also remember our branch, our brother elder, who has served them in this day? May after the services, may his heart be filled with humility, thankfulness, and joy. experiencing thy help with the prayer that the labors may be blessed to the hearts of young and old, return safely home. Bless the labors in our Christian school. We commend thy church unto thee over the length and the breadth of the earth. Remember all those that labor therein. Remember thy servants who are old and who are sick. We commend them all unto thee. We remember the persecuted church, the beloved for the Father's sake, all mission work, also our mission field, thy servant and the team. We remember our country, where in the day of tomorrow, it is a day of elections, O Lord. May it please thee in thy mercy to yet show a little mercy, not to give everything over to destruction, that thou may yet grant some leaders where thy holy word has a place in their life, and who have learned to bow their knees, asking thee for wisdom and understanding. We are a country that has departed so far from thee. The unborn, daily murdered in their mother's womb. The Lord's Day desecrated. The seventh commandment trampled upon. As so many homes where there is not a Bible, a generation growing up estranged from thy holy word, great multitudes under a false and a deceitful religion, O Lord. Wilt thou then work from generation to generation amongst us and our dear children in these solemn and fearful times? But the psalmist has declared, the Lord reigneth, thy dear Son sitteth at thy right hand as the great prophet, the only high priest, and that eternal king, and thou fulfillest all thy purpose, and may it be our continually beseeching that thou may remember us and our dear children with the favor that thou bearest unto thy people, and that there may be a richer time in the midst of thy church, and thou art not a land of outer darkness for thy Zion. We commend unto thee the little infant child remains in the hospital. We humbly ask thee that the parents may soon be privileged to return to their dwelling with their precious little gift. Then we remember all the sick and afflicted ones under the physician's care in different and special ways, with many fears, with many concerns. Those undergoing treatments, it all awaits for thy blessing. Wilt thou grant healing and strengthening to those that stand in need of the same, and that the manifold callings, that they may be sanctified. We remember those that struggle with weakness of mind, with depression at times, when it can all seem so impossible and so dark. Ah, do grant then a place at thy footstool, where they may tell thee how it is, and humbly beg for a little courage, and to be given to open thy holy word. We commend unto thee all the handicapped ones, the crosses, the burdens. Do bless the family circles. Lord, remember all the mourning ones, widowers, widows, half orphans, those that have brought children and other dear ones to the cemetery. Wilt thou continue to be mindful of them, and that from that morning another morning may be born, and that is a morning because of our sins, and a morning because of thee. Remember all the elderly ones, our Bethesda, and those that may lovingly care for them, and those that may still dwell in their dwellings. Then on the last day of this week, a husband and wife hope to commemorate that thou hast spared them for 58 years in the bond of holy matrimony, and where they have become old, the infirmities are increasing. Grant a broken and a humble heart, and above all that one thing needful, an old mother also on the last day of this week hopes to commemorate with her husband that thou hast spared her for 85 years. Then thou hast helped her through with her surgery, made everything remarkably well. Wilt thou grant unto them both together a soft heart and the one thing needful, the saving of our souls. Lord, we now humbly beg of thee for thy help. Grant a few simple words to speak. May they go forth with power divine. May our ears be opened, our understanding, but also our hearts. May it grant a holy activity concerning the things of the Lord. Remember all that we forget, forget it not. Wilt thou bless what stands in need of thy blessing, and everything stands in need thereof, but our Lord. We feel it so little, we live so dependently. We live so independently, make us more dependent upon thee. And then by renewal the confession that our sins are great and manifold, not worthy that thou wouldest come under our roof, but, ah, Lord, thou hast promised thy special blessing. Wilt thou grant it in this evening hour? Wilt thou be a surprising God and pardon us of all of our sins? In Jesus' name, amen. Psalter 420, the stanzas 4 and 6. The Lord is great, his might untold, his chariots thousand thousandfold, his armies never confounded. Among them God with joy displays the glory that in Moses' days Mount Sinai surrounded, and what follows. Psalter 420, the stanzas 4 and 6. in this evening hour with the help of the Lord. We wish to ask your attention for our Heidelberg Catechism, Lord's Day 18, the question and answers 46 through 49. Question 46, how dost thou understand these words? He ascended into heaven. Answer, that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. Question 47, is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? Answer, Christ is very man and very God, and with respect to his human nature, he is no more on earth, but with respect to his Godhead, majesty, grace, and spirit, he is at no time absent from us. Question 48, but if his human nature is not present, wherever his Godhead is, are not then these two natures in Christ separated from one another? Answer, not at all, for since the Godhead is illimitable and omnipresent, it must necessarily follow that the same is beyond the limits of the human nature he assumed, and yet is nevertheless in this human nature and remains personally united to it. Question 49, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven? Answer, first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father in heaven. Secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. Thirdly, that he sends us his Spirit as an earnest, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. Lord's Day 18 speaks of the blessed ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven, with three thoughts. In the first place, Christ taken up into heaven. Secondly, Christ remaining with his church. And in the third place, Christ remembering his church. The blessed ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. Christ taken up into heaven, as we find it in number 46. Christ remaining with his church in number 47 and number 48. And Christ remembering his church in number 49. Beloved congregation, when we compare Lord's Day number 18 with Lord's Day number 17, then we notice a great difference, because Lord's Day 17, that speaks of the resurrection of Christ, and then we only have one question. But in Lord's Day number 18, which speaks of the ascension of Christ, and then we have four questions and answers. And that is not because the one is less important than the other. We can understand it. If there was no resurrection, our children can understand it. If Christ had not resurrected from the tomb, then there would not be an ascension. The resurrection, the first step of his exaltation, and the ascension, the second step. But then we must understand the circumstances and the reasons why Frederick III, that godly monarch, what a blessed country, when they had such a blessed monarch that feared the Lord, and that was not only concerned about their temporal needs, but also concerned about the spiritual needs. And then in the time of the Reformation, then the people needed to be instructed also concerning the heirs of that Roman Catholic bondage. But then in the Church of the Reformation, it has become divided. There were those that have followed the teachings of Luther, and Luther, a dear child, a true servant of the Lord, that was taught so clearly by the Spirit, that he could not be saved by works, that it was grace, and that it was all of grace, the work of a triune God. But we must understand, the Lord has used Martin Luther to bring the church out of that bondage. He was a first generation reformer, but then there were still heirs that Luther has still clung unto, and not a full understanding of the whole scriptures. Calvin, he was born about 25 years later, thus we would say, a later reformer. And what a light that John Calvin had when we read the book of his Institutes, his first edition, a profound book. What a light that the Lord has given unto John Calvin. And then also clear insight concerning the doctrines of free and sovereign grace. And that has grieved Frederick III. And to that end, he has asked Zacharias Ursinus and Caspar Olivianus to write a catechism that the people may be instructed. And then the heirs of Luther, not that they were so manifold, but they have also been addressed. And then also concerning the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. And then Luther also had an heir. And to that end, in our Heidelberg Catechism, then the ascension of Christ is first explained, and also defended the scriptural truths, and also the advantages while concerning their resurrection, there is mainly spoken of the profit of their resurrection for the church. And now we read, how dost thou understand these words? And then in this Lord's Day, have you heard it, congregation? Have you listened to it? Then it speaks of us and our. And then each time by renewal, then we are called to examine ourselves. Each time by renewal in our Heidelberg Catechism, in the context of the first question, what is that question, boys and girls, do you remember? The first question of our Heidelberg Catechism. What is thy only comfort in life and in death? And comfort, that means to be truly happy. And we all have a desire to be happy. And then each time by renewal, our instructors given to explain the mysteries of salvation, but also the experience of the true people of God, then we are called to examine ourselves. Oh, my unconverted fellow travelers, to that never-ending and all-decisive eternity, are there times on Sunday evening that you are given to lay it before the Lord, even with tears, and that you are given to tell the Lord, Lord, I have heard it. I am still excluded, still standing outside, still unconverted. Ah, Lord, must this now continue? And how long, ah, Lord, wilt thou send down thy Spirit and work lovingly and irresistibly in my heart, that I may be given to experience those wonderful things, that I may also receive even a little hope. When we read those words, us, our, my, that I may have a little hope, that I may be included, and for the people of God to be further instructed and led in the mysteries of salvation concerning the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. There are not so many verses devoted to the ascension. We have read together in Mark 16, only verse 19 that speaks of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have read together out of Luke 24. And then we have the last four verses. And also in Acts 1, the verses 9 through 11. It is true. Christ has spoken to his church, especially in the upper room, that it was expedient that he would go away. In his high priestly prayer, in John 17, the verses 4 and 5, and now glorify me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world. I have glorified thee upon the earth. I have finished the work which thou hast given me to do. And now Christ, as the bridegroom of the church, when he is resurrected, then he had a divine right to immediately return to heaven, was also the longing of the holy angels and of the saints that were above. But Christ, in his great love and in his great compassion, then he has remained, you know it, boys and girls, how many days upon the earth? 40 days. In the scripture there are recorded 11 appearances, and that was in the goodness, but also in the wisdom of the Lord. He has dealt so gently with his church, but he has not remained too long, that they would not get too great a thoughts of an earthly kingdom. And now it was necessary for Christ that the disciples, that they would witness that ascension in the 40 days between the resurrection and the ascension of Christ. Then it was so different for those disciples and for his church. Before the death of Christ, then his disciples usually knew where Jesus was. But after the resurrection, then he has visited his church, and then he has disappeared out of their sight with a glorified body. But now with the ascension, then it would become so different, because then he would depart from them and receive a place in heaven. Concerning the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ, also prophesied in the Old Testament, Psalm 24, Psalm 47, Psalm 68, we have sung thereof out of Psalter 420. And then further, also in John 16, verse 7, nevertheless I tell you the truth, it is expedient that I go away. And Jesus has spoken in John 20, verse 17, to Mary, I ascend to my Father and to your Father. The ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ also typified to, in the Old Testament, I think children, you know who they are, who have not experienced death, but were taken into heaven, that were given to ascend, then that God-fearing Enoch. We do not read of any witnesses, but also the prophet Elijah, where the prophet Elisha was given to witness the same, was also typified. When the ark was brought up into Jerusalem, it is believed that David by the Spirit has penned Psalm 68 at that occasion. And then it was especially typified on the great day of atonement, when the high priest with the blood, when he would enter into the Holy of Holies, and when the mercy seat would be sprinkled. Then concerning his ascension, Reverend Hellenbrook, we have learned it actually visibly and locally, and the instructors explain it very simply, that Christ, in sight of his disciples, was taken up from earth into heaven, and that he continues there for our interest, that is for the people of God, until he comes again to judge the quick and the dead. We have heard in this morning out of Psalm 22, the special work of the King for the ingathering of the church, and that he shall work from generation to generation, and that is an encouragement for us and our children, but that the Lord also uses means, because we have heard that one generation also clearly declared and commanded in Psalm 78, the verses 4 through 7. And now the Lord granteth this precious time of grace before he comes to judge the quick and the dead, that we may be given to seek and find the Lord. May it please the Lord to bind those divine realities upon our hearts, and then we are given to see and realize how deeply we have fallen in our covenant at Adam. The prophet Ezekiel, in Ezekiel 37, he saw that valley of all those bones. You can picture it in your mind, boys and girls. Legs, arms, skulls, all bones spread in that valley, very many and very dry. Prophet, can these bones live? Oh, he has given such a good answer. Lord, thou knowest. From man's side, impossible. They shall remain dead and dry. But prophet, begin to prophesy. And then there came movement, and they were clothed with skin and flesh. And that is now our hope. And then it is so needful that we faithfully use the means of grace, begging the Lord for his blessing, begging the Lord for a rich outpouring of his Holy Spirit for young and old, because this Lord's Day that speaks of the glorious ascension of Christ Jesus shall remain there. When shall he return, boys and girls? That shall be when the last boy or girl, man or woman, has been converted, that is written in the book of life, and then immediately Christ shall descend. Our second thought, Christ remaining with his church. And then the question is, that is now the question, boys and girls, that Christ has promised his church also before he ascended on that mountain in Galilee. In Matthew 28, verse 20, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth. And now in the Bible, it is recorded that Christ has ascended into heaven. So how can we reconcile that promise of the Lord Jesus Christ that he has promised his church that he shall always remain, always be present with them, and yet the disciples, they have witnessed it after Christ with his hands has blessed them on the Mount of Olives, that he was literally taken up with his body into heaven. So that is now the question in this Lord's Day. And then children, if you try to listen, and then your father and mother ask you how we can solve the difficulty, how it can be true, because Christ, he is the yea and amen. All his promises are yea and amen in him. And he is a God that cannot lie. So how can it be to promise to remain with his church and then to ascend into heaven? And then we read, is not Christ then with us even to the end of the world, as he hath promised? And then the answer, boys and girls, is very simply, Christ, he is man, but he is also God. And now concerning his human nature, his human body, that has ascended into heaven. But concerning his Godhead, his divinity, because we know, boys and girls, that the Lord is everywhere present. No place where we can hide from his presence. No place that he does not see us. He is present everywhere. The psalmist in Psalm 139 has spoken in a special way thereof. And now the questions 47 and 48. They address the heir of Martin Luther. And in his writings, it is not perfectly clear. But Martin Luther has taught that when the Lord Jesus Christ has ascended, that those attributes of his divinity, they were also partaken of by his human nature. Thus Martin Luther has also taught that when Christ ascended into heaven, that also with his human body, with his human nature, that he was present over all the world. But it is clear, and the instructors, they have given a biblical answer with respect to his human nature. He is no more on earth. The king has sent two angels to instruct the disciples that he would remain in heaven, but that he would likewise return upon the clouds of heaven. But now concerning his divinity, and then the instructors, they have mentioned four matters. In the first place, his Godhead, concerning the divine attributes, and also concerning the Redeemer, then the king is everywhere present. With his majesty, his kingship is power, and that is a fright for the enemies. With his grace, with his seeking grace, and granting those precious gifts, and with the Spirit, we read in Zechariah 4, verse 6, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And then the instructors have added, he is at no time absent from us. Does not mean that the true child, oh, there can be times, we read it in the scriptures, we have mentioned the lamentation of Zion out of Isaiah 49 verse 14. Do we not read in different places of a Lord that hideth his face, that it can become so still, that it becomes so dark? But that does not mean that the King is not present. The Lord shall never forget and never forsake his church. And for the child, when it becomes so still, when it seems there is a hiding of the Lord's face, then such a one doeth well to examine it is true. The Lord is sovereign and free. And many a times in that way, then he teaches his child lessons which cannot be learned elsewhere. And then in that way, all the reasons, they can be manifold. A special sin, a way of backsliding, unthankfulness, slothfulness concerning the means of grace. When the King does not hear his child so often, and where the bridegroom declares, oh, my dove that art in the secret place of the stairs, in the cleft of the rock, in the secret places of the stairs, let me hear thy voice and see thy countenance, for thy countenance is comely and thy voice is sweet. The Lord has promised that he shall never forsake the work of his own hands. Let us first sing Psalter 58, the three stanzas. Ye gates, lift your heads, the glad summons obey. Ye doors everlasting, wide open the way. The King of all glory high honors await. The King of all glory shall enter in state. And what follows, Psalter 58, the three stanzas.
Thank you.
the blessed ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ into heaven. Christ taken up into heaven. Christ remaining with his church. And in the third place, Christ remembering his church. We read of the disciples in Luke 24, verse 52. After Christ ascended into heaven and they worshiped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy. Then we would think, boys and girls, when the disciples have seen it, looked up into heaven, and finally they saw their beloved master no more, that they would have been very sad, that they would have wept, left alone in the midst of an hostile world. Jerusalem had just cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." But that we do not read. They were given to exceedingly rejoice. And then it is clear that those disciples that they were given to understand by the Spirit the riches, the necessity of the ascension of the Lord Jesus Christ. And then our instructors, of what advantage to us is Christ's ascension into heaven. And then by renewal congregation, have we received a hope, a little hope, a well-founded hope, a biblical hope, that we may be included in that number, that we may find our life explained in God's holy word, of people that oftentimes write bitter things against themselves, but that there are those times that they may be included. No, I do not say, does not begin with the ascension. When the Lord begins, then we stand outside. And then we learn that our rightful place is in the bottom of hell. But on account of that love, then we are given to earnestly seek that great God and ask how we may be reconciled. And now the instructors first, that he is our advocate in the presence of his Father. And now that advocate, oh, he has never lost a case, never loses a case. And with his Father, not only plead, but he has entered into heaven with those pierced wounds, with his blood, and the Father has promised in Psalm 2 verse 8, his church as a reward upon his meritorial labors, and then for the child of God, oh, what a rich thought. Read in the Bible many exhortations, many promises for a begging people, and a true beggar shall never be turned away. It is true. The trial of faith oftentimes we read of a waiting people, but now the instructors are given to declare. And Christ has taught his disciples in John 16, the verses 23 and 24, that they must ask all things of the Father in the name of Jesus, who is that advocate, that praying and thanking high priest at the right hand of his Father. And then secondly, that we have our flesh in heaven. Then the ascension of Christ therein is declared the homecoming for the church. In our deep fallen Adam, we have fallen out of the Father heart of God. On Good Friday, a payday. On Easter, Romans 4 verse 25, who was delivered for our offenses and raised again for our justification. That is the receipt of payment. But now with the ascension of Christ, through Christ's ascension, then the true child of God may be brought back to the Father heart of God. Oh, in richer times of the church, then there were those that could tell so clearly those different steps of grace. And now with the ascension of Christ, we have sung it out of Psalm 24, that those doors, those everlasting doors, they were opened wide. And that Christ has entered through those doors. And with that entrance, then he has taken his church with him. And to that end, the instructors have said that we have our flesh in heaven as a sure pledge that he, as the head, will also take up to himself us, his members. In John 14, the verses 2 and 3, Christ has declared that he went before to prepare a place, those mansions for his people. Is that oftentimes in our thoughts, whether there shall also be a mansion for us, because if there is no prepared mansion in heaven for us, then there is one other place left, and our children know where that is, and that is in hell. And to that end, may we be much exercised. Maybe there are those that think to themselves also in this evening hour, but that shall not be for me. And it is true. When we remain unconverted, what shall we then do in heaven? No prepared place, but the King still calleth. The King still inviteth, and therefore, then we can never say, that is not for me, but a wonder does need to take place. We need to be born again. Christ has said it so clearly and so simply to Nicodemus, except a man is born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven, and therefore the necessity to be given to us much and for the true people of God. They are oftentimes when the Lord begins, then how often they are busy with those things, with eternity, two ways and two destinations, and how earnestly they are given to seek. But now for the true people of God, then in the first place, and then congregation, then we can examine ourselves in the first place, not heaven seekers. No one wants to go to hell, but not in the first place heaven seekers, but they become God seekers. They need the Lord, whom they have learned to love. They have learned that they so exceedingly sinned against the Lord. The Lord is just. They need to be reconciled, but now the instructors, O Church of God, what a precious thought. Christ, as the head, is in heaven. His flesh is a sure pledge that at the end, the true child, the true bride, shall be united with the bridegroom. And then thirdly, that he sends us his spirit as an earnest. Does a pledge in heaven and an earnest upon earth. And that is the spirit which is made indwelling in the heart of his child, who was regenerated, who uncovers, who teaches, who guides, who leads, and declares that precious Jesus in their heart. And then the instructors by renewal. We shall close with those words. Then we can honestly examine ourselves. By whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. To make it simple for our boys and girls, if your father or mother is visiting in the Netherlands to visit relatives, different circumstances, then many times you try to think of the time zones. Now for mother or father, it is this time. Perhaps they are doing this. Then your thoughts are oftentimes in that other country, eagerly awaiting for them to return. And now the instructor says, by the Spirit, to seek the things which are above. What is the most important in our life? Are the things here below? Is that our all? All our joy and happiness, or... Oh, it is true. The psalmist in Psalm 119, verse 25, has said, My soul cleaveth to the dust. And not to become over-spiritual, we have our callings and our duties here below. Still a blessing that we may have a place, that we may have work to do. But for the child of God, tis not their all, tis not what gives the most joy and satisfaction, or not to minimize the temporal things. It is a blessing in the life of a child of God that their heart each time by renewal becomes soft, but their thoughts are above, exercised with the Father, with the Son, and with the Holy Ghost, not to seek by whose power, that is what the church learns, by whose power that is not of self, can so cleave to the dust, by whose power we seek the things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand, and with Christ all those that have went before with their souls before the throne, on the right hand of God, and not things on earth. Amen. Let us close. Lord, we may humbly acknowledge Thee that Thou wast given in other Lord's day, unable to come up to Thy house, yet a few words to speak. Wilt Thou add Thy indispensable blessing? We may commence another week. First day has nearly run its course, and then we humbly beg of Thee that Thou may watch over us and our dear children in this week, to keep us from an unexpected, and above all from an unreconciled death. Remember the mothers in the home with the children. Remember on the way. Remember at work, wherever we are called to be. Continue to help the farmers. We may thank Thee for the rain, which Thou wast also given in the past week. May it please Thee to continue to provide. Bring us together for a weekday service, and then we commend unto Thee the confession of faith class, whereon the coming Lord's Day they hope to make a solemn oath. Ah, Lord, do grand exercises therewith. May they be found in secret places, asking Thee for Thy help. And above all, O a living member of the living church, of the living King, who sitteth at Thy right hand, we have heard of the generations in this morning. Wilt Thou now graciously bring us to our homes, watch over us in the night watches, and may we awake refreshed, given to perform our labors. Grant a prayer for one another, dismiss us now in Thy favor, and pardon us of all of our sins, in Jesus' name, amen. Our closing psalter, Psalter 247, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. O God, our help in ages past, our hope for years to come, our shelter from the stormy blast, and our eternal home. And what follows, Psalter 247, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 6. Receive the blessing of the Lord and depart in peace. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.